Psalm 40. Psalm 40. I'm just going to read verses 1 and through 3. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He drew me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, or some of your texts got out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock, made my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. And this was going to happen. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. I want to talk about this just as a sermon coming out of 2016 and 2017. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm coming out with my hands up. I'm coming out with my hands up. Now, some of y'all couldn't get with that because the last time you heard it, the police was somewhere around. Well, I'm gonna give you another way of looking at this thing, but I'm coming out. God has brought me out. I'm coming out. And I'm coming out with my hands up in praise. That's what I just want to deal with just for a few minutes. He says in this psalm, matter of fact, it's kind of a twisted psalm compared to the rest of the psalms, because usually you'll have a trouble and then you get this praise and it'll end on a high note. And I'm not going to be able to deal with the entirety of the psalm, but this psalm is kind of altered, where you have at the beginning of the psalm this praise, right, about thanking God how he brought me out. And then it moves on into more trouble. And usually you don't do that. Once you get out the trouble, you praise God, and then you're through. But in this text, you got the trouble, then you get out the trouble, and then later on in the text, you get into more trouble. But let me tell you how you work all that out. This is what you do. See, the reason why he begins praising him for the trouble he came out of is because he know he got some trouble coming down the road. And what he brought me out of before is going to give me the faith to go through what I got to go through tomorrow. Y'all hear what I'm trying to say? So it's important that I come out with my hands up. When God brings me out of whatever he brings me out of, it's important that I remember it and come out praising him and get that thing in my mind, because something else is coming down the road and I'm going to use what I had yesterday to get through my right now. Are y'all with me? Look at somebody and tell them one more time. I'm coming out with my hands up. Well, I just got 3 points. I'm a Baptist preacher, so excuse me. I was overwhelmed. I have overcome. And I'm in overflow. Can I just do that? I want to do it. I want to say, I was. Oh, matter of fact, go on and testify with me. Say, I was overwhelmed. I have overcome. And I'm in overflow. Check this out. Number one, I said, I'm overwhelmed. Listen to the text. Listen to the writer. He is David, and actually he becomes the representative for everybody else who's going to go through trouble. And he said, look at my life. I'm going to put my life on display so you can see what it looks like to go through. And notice it's David. Notice it's a brother who is after God's own heart. He is a man who has the covenant. He is a man who has God's favor. But yet the text said, he had to wait patiently for the Lord. He inclined to him and had to cry out because he was in a horrible pit. Now, don't miss that now. Here is a man who has God's favor. Here is a man who is anointed. Here is a man who God has chosen to give him his covenant. According to 2 Samuel chapter 17, he has what we call the Davidic covenant. Matter of fact, God is going to use his descendant to bring the world back to himself. So this guy is favored. He's anointed. He's what you call, when y'all be talking to each other, talking about some highly favored. Well, David was highly favored, okay? He had the blessing of the Lord on him. He was anointed. He had all that. All right. But yet he said, although I'm anointed and although I'm elected and although I'm special and although I got grace, I still had hell to pay. The text says I went through a horrible pit. Now I need to stop right there and let you know that part of David's testimony is that I was overwhelmed. Me. Who accepted God, me who's in a relationship with God, me who God has covered. Why do I need to bring those two things together? Because there's somebody here that's under the assumption that if I have God's favor, that if I have God's anointing, that if I have God covering me, then I'm going to exclude. I ain't got no pits. Matter of fact, when I get to a pit, I ain't going to claim it. But here in David, he claimed the pit because he said when he got in there, he cried out. Y'all hear what I'm trying to tell y'all? I need you to understand that. I need you to understand that church doesn't keep you. Tithing doesn't keep you. Coming to church doesn't keep you. Bible study doesn't keep you from getting in an overwhelming situation. If you in this thing to, as just some kind of security to keep bad things from coming to you, you in for a rude awakening because God will allow you to get into some pits. The text said that he gets into a horrible pit. The text said he would. Now, I want you to notice. Let me tell you something about what a pit is. Back then, they had an image that would come up when they would talk about pit. It was this deep spot, but it wasn't just down in a hole. The hole itself. Matter of fact, let me. I kind of spell this out for you. Look at somebody. Say, I'm in a pit. I'm in a pit. Okay, overwhelmed. And the idea, first of all, is that I'm trapped. Okay. It means I'm trapped. The idea is there is no stability. I'm trapped. Matter of fact, it's so bad in one of those pits that they would say that when you get down there, there would be water and mud and slime. That's why you got that word muck or mire. Y'all ever heard the miry clay? What's that? Miry clay means it's like this mud that whatever I hold on to try to get up out the pit. Everything that I grab onto is unstable and take me back down. Can I put it in layman's term? What it means is, it means that my A plan, my B plan, and my C plan all have a business meeting, look at each other and say, what you gonna do? You ever been in a pit so bad? This means that the ladder that I'm using to try to get out, even the ladder can't hold me up. It means that I'm in a trouble so bad. Let me go and put it like this. Let's say it was a financial issue. And you say, look, I'm going to get out of it. And then here's your A plan. Here's your B plan. And I'm going to save the money. Right? And I'm going to put something aside in order to get out this debt or whatever it is. And I'm every month or every other week, I'm going to put something over. What this text is saying that it's so bad that even your savings that you put up, you can't depend on that. Because next week something come that you didn't expect. And your car, you got to spend over $2,000. I wish I had a win. And everything you've been holding and saving, you got to get that out. Your child had to go to the doctor. And now all that little money you were saving for a rainy day, it's storming right now. It's slimy. My A plan, my B plan, my C plan, look at each other and say, what you going to do? Trap. That's what it means to be in a pit. To be in this kind of pit, the idea is that things have gotten so bad that you finally get to the point where you say, there is nothing that I can do to get out this situation. There's a marriage like that right now. Keep on saying amen so we won't think it's you. Keep it coming. There's a friendship out there. That's like that right now. There was somebody on a job right now. And you looking at this situation and you try everything you could. And you trying to build up. And you documenting all your work to make sure that nothing come back. And you now you trying to get in the favor of your supervisor. And as soon as you get up there, your supervisor moved to Florida. And now you got somebody new who's going to sell the company. Y'all ain't hear what I'm trying to tell y'all. See, you just wave your hand like that. My God put you in these pits, man. And your ABC plan, here you are talking about, there is nothing I can do to get out of this situation. By the way, let me just go on and kind of give you a fast forward. That's a good situation to be in. Matter of fact, that was what God was waiting for you to say. Because all while you in the pit, you trying to come up with different plans. And God like, you through? You had enough? Are you ready to see me work and do for you what you can't do for yourself? Have you drunk enough water? I was in a pit, a miry pit. Not only does it mean trapped. Not only does it mean unstable, everything I use, it's kind of like even my spare tire is on flat. Huh? I wish I had somebody. Somebody here. God will do that for you, you see. And some of y'all are all right now because, you know, if whoever you're hooked up with now, if they don't act right, you got a little sugar daddy. This text is saying sugar daddy broke too. He ain't got nothing. Oh, what you going to do when sugar daddy ain't got nothing? Not only does it mean trap, I'm trying to, and this is poetic language, so I gotta, the idea is you gotta envision it and paint this picture. So, trap, yes? Not only does it mean trap, ain't nothing I can do, the picture's also in line with that, it's like quicksand. So, if you wanna get an idea, so it's not just in a hole. It's like quicksand. So, with quicksand, the idea is I'm sinking, and everything I do to attempt to get out only take me deeper. Somebody got a child like that right now. Everything you do to try to get that child, grandchild, whoever it is, it's like every time I try to make a move to get you up, it takes me down. Look at somebody say quicksand. The pit, it's trapped. It's quicksand. No matter what move I make, it takes me further down. But then, not only that, but also it is a picture of low visibility. Listen to me. When you deep down in the pit, it pictures a dark situation. I can't see. One of the things that gives me comfort and security is that at least I know what's going to happen. I can plan things out and whatnot. You get your little budget. Some of y'all no doubt got your New Year's resolution. Okay? And you all right. You're going to be good up until March or April. And after that tax money gone, or you get through paying them. We'll have this conversation again. Low visibility. You understand what I'm saying? Low. I'm dark. It's a dark situation. I can't see where I am. And that's where we get in trouble. When it comes to the overwhelming situation, I start tripping and start acting crazy when I can't see. Because, see, when I can't see stuff and I'm trapped, you know what that means? It means that I ain't got no control. And the one thing I want to have over my life is control. I don't want a God I can trust. I want a God that I can control. And I want my situation to be. But once God allows you to get in that pit, you lost all your steps. You don't know what you're doing. And here's the thing. You lost visibility. And then that's when people start jumping off. Let me tell you what Corrie Ten Boom said. She said, it don't make no sense to just jump off there. She said, when you're riding on a train and you hit a tunnel, say you don't throw away your ticket and jump off the train. Because you're in a tunnel and it's dark and you can't see. So what you do is you just sit there and you ride it out and trust the engineer to get you through the tunnel. Y'all got it? They had too much to drink. I'm going through a tunnel and it's dark. You don't throw away your ticket. Jump off the train. All hope is gone. No, you sit there and you trust the engineer to take you through that tunnel. And I'm often using as an excuse. The reason why I don't trust God is because I can't see. Well, if you could see it all, you wouldn't need to trust him. That's kind of the idea. The reason why I need you to work it out is because I can't see the big picture. I wish I had a witness in here. So I'm in a place of low visibility. God allows me to get into these places. And somebody's here tonight, or today, in that situation. I call it the Bingham Canyon. They say if you go to Salt Lake City, they have what you call the Bingham Canyon. They say that the Bingham Canyon is the deepest canyon. It is the deepest pit. It is the deepest man-made pit in the world. Salt Lake City. I've never been there. I really don't plan on going to Salt Lake City or anywhere in Utah. But you know what? Some of y'all, you like me, you don't even need to go and travel geographically to Utah to experience the deepest pit. Some of you in that canyon right now. And the thing that stings about it. Now, let me go and deal with these pits, okay? Now, I want to bring up at least three types of pits. Number one, you got the pit that I made. That did this. Say the pit that I made. Number two, you got the pit that they made. And number three, you got the pit that we made. Oh, you gonna say it now? You gonna say it? See. And we, I'm going. Number one, say it again. Say the pit that I made. No, number two, the pit that they made. Number three, the pit that we made. And I guarantee you, whatever kind of pit you in right now, it falls under one of those three conditions. Now, I'm gonna bring it up. Now, it's important to do this because you get your shouting in on this. You gotta understand what kind of pit you got. Some of the pits that I'm in are pits that I dug. And you gotta be honest about this stuff. Some stuff, and I don't know why. Yeah, yes, you do. You didn't pay it when you had the money. I don't know why everybody walking away from me. Yes, you do. You hellish. Some of this, I wish I had a witness here. Some of this stuff you going through is because you and we have caused this stuff on ourselves. David can say, yeah, Sean, you talking this morning. That's why I had to pull a Psalm 51. Because when I did what I did with Bathsheba and Uriah, I couldn't blame that on nobody but myself. Now that's a pit that I made. But then not only are there pits that I made, but then there are the pits that they made. And see, we like to emphasize that. You know, the pit that they made is those who help. They're the one that just push you in there. And you got some folks that you depended on, and there's some circumstances that are beyond your control. And it all happened. Life happens. And you get in a situation, and folk you depended on throw you in a pit, and it's because of somebody else. Joseph is here this morning saying, Sean, go on and preach, because I ain't had nothing to do with that pit. My brothers threw me in there. David can say every pit I was in wasn't about Bathsheba. I did have a pit that Saul put me in. I had a pit that my son Absalom put me in. So there are some pits that I made. There are other pits that they made. There are some folk in your life that have put you in. And you didn't see it coming. You had no control over it. They did it to you. And then number three, there is the pit that we made. Everybody say we made. And now most of your pits kind of fall pretty much under this category. And I don't know what husband or wife I'm talking to, but usually we try to stick when it comes to marriage on the pit that they made. The husband is talking about, Lord, the woman that you gave me. I wish I had a witness in here. The woman is talking about the man, talking about all men are dogs, and I knew you wasn't no good, no way, you just like your old dad, and all that kind of stuff. So we all, especially in those kind of situations, I'm looking at you, you looking at me, but the truth of the matter is this, and I know I'm going to lose all my friends here, but here it is. Usually, in those situations, it's the pit that we made. It's enough guilt to go around. But the good news of this text is, that no matter what the pit is, God specializes in getting his children out of pits. Now, we ain't got to fight about this stuff. I'm not going to go scholar in history on this. I don't know the historical background of this song. I don't know what particular situation David is talking about here. Matter of fact, even up in it, it don't say when he was over here or when he was over there. I don't know what he was going through. I don't know what situation he is. But here's the good news about it. I ain't got to know the historical background of what David was from, because when he talked about pit, he made it broad enough that all of us can fit in it. I wish I had a witness in here. And I come to serve good news this morning, because this is my second point. That not only is it I overwhelmed, but secondly, I have overcome. The text is going to say he brought me out. I wish I had a witness in here. Can I tell you what the good news is? The good news is that no matter what pit you in, if it's a pit that you did for yourself, if it's a pit that somebody else threw you in, if it's a pit that we all shared this, I don't care what kind of pit you in, God don't ask the question now. Let me look at what kind of pit it is. He said, no, my child is in trouble and I'm going to come down and get. Now there's some people that just say, well, you know, you made your bed and you lie in it. There's some people that say, well, if you dig the pit for yourself, that's on you. Now, that's somebody else talking. That ain't God. God says, no, if you my child, I don't care why you in there. I'm coming down to get you and do for you what you can't do for yourself. He brought me out. I got some witnesses up in here. Just within the parameters of 2016. I wish if we had a little time to talk, you could say, yeah, Sean, I can identify with that wee pit. I had something to do with it. They had some of you can say, yeah, Sean, I understand. I know about that vape pit. That's some folk that I'm kind of get over now. I'm upset with because of what they did to me. You can say, but then there's some other of you can say, yeah, I know about that eye pit. I had everything to do with it, but didn't it bring you out? Do you have a testimony that God is able to reach down and pick you up and bring you out? You hold on to that now because sometimes you so hard on yourself. And what you begin to say is, I dug this pit and I don't deserve for God to get me out. Let me give you a little secret. Sound like the guy in California. Let me give you a little secret. Nobody deserves to be brought out of the pit. Every time God reaches down and brings you out, it is a total act of his mercy. Nobody can look down and look up at God and say, well, it's about time you can't. No, I didn't have to come. So anytime God reaches down, he's not looking at how good you are. He's not looking at your record and say, well, you attended so many Bible studies. He's not looking at, well, you paid so much time. He ain't looking at all of that. He's saying, look, my child is in help and I'm doing it because I love you. He brought me out. But the text said, not only did he bring me out. And by the way, I want you to, I'm kind of mixing this. Go back to the overwhelm part. Notice how he says what he's doing in the overwhelm. When he's in this situation, the text opens with saying, I waited patiently on the Lord. The Hebrew is, I waited. The idea, actually, in the Hebrew, it's saying it twice. It's like, waiting, I waited. The idea is, I was doing intense waiting. The idea is, it's kind of like a person doing some hunting. And you, whatever it is, your game, you here block everything out. I don't want to hear about what's happening with the Cowboys. That might depress me. I don't want to hear about what happened yet. Everything else, all of my peripheral has been shut out. And all I'm focusing on is my expectation. That's what he's saying he's doing in the pit. He's saying that the way I was able to make it in my overwhelming situation is that I began to wait on the Lord. I need to say something about that. Waiting, I waited. Intensely expecting God to do something. Relying totally on him. By the way, that's part of what the pit is about. God putting you in a slimy situation where you ain't got nothing else to hold on to but him. So after he's reduced all of your little A's and B plans, all you have is to look intensely on him. And sometimes God got to knock you down in order for you to look up. But he'll do whatever he got to do to get you down there so you can look. I waited. Now please understand, there was a difference between waiting on God and just simply riding through the situation. See, everybody that's in the pit ain't waiting on God. Let me help you out. Because the text is going to add something to it. He said, I waited on the Lord, and then there's a parallel. He says, and he inclined his ear and heard my what? My cry. So that means that while he was waiting, notice the text didn't say, I was waiting and God saw me waiting. The text said, I was waiting and he heard my cry. Well, how did he hear his cry? Because evidently, part of his waiting included calling on the Lord. Y'all see that in the text? You see, it's a parallel. I was waiting. So it ain't just I'm passively just sitting by. Oh, well. That ain't waiting. Waiting ain't even talking about, time will heal all things. No, it won't. Because there's some of y'all that's 70 and 60 and 80. And time, you sicker now. Because time has done a work on you. And you ain't got better. You done got bitter. Time don't work no magic. Time just have a way of bringing out of you what's already been in there. Now, time is not the healer. God is the healer. Now, God can use time. I wish I had a witness. But in order for him to use time, you're going to have to wait. Meaning, not just passively sit by. But it means that I'm going to expectantly trust him while I'm going through. Now, some stuff, you ain't got no choice. You got to go through it. But the difference between you and somebody else will be how you wait. That is, I'm trusting. The word wait is synonymous. It is another word for trusting in the Lord. Let me break. There's a difference between, let me put it like this. There's a difference between riding and waiting. Some of y'all just, well, I'm just going to ride this thing out. God didn't put you in it just to ride it out. You ain't just in for a ride, okay? It's not just a roller coaster. It's not just that you're in the situation. It's how you're responding to the situation. And both of us can be going through the same thing, but we got different dispositions. What it means to wait is I'm calling. I recognize that God has put me in a situation where he's called me to call on him. And here's the idea. Here's the funny thing. Usually when we get in these situations, we call on everybody but God. Calling somebody, just telling them what you're going through and tripping about your pit, that ain't waiting. If you talk to them long enough, you'll realize they're probably in a worse situation than you are. But waiting always includes trusting in the Lord. Again, let me put it like this. Waiting is not saying, sitting in the situation, talking about I ain't going to claim it. Now, I know some of y'all listen to more TBN than you listen to your Bible. But let me help you straighten out your theology. God ain't never told you to handle trouble by talking about it don't exist. This text said he cried out. See, in order for you, you got to ask him what he cried out about. He cried out about the trouble. See, as long as you acting like it ain't going on, ain't nothing to cry about. If you ain't sick, what you crying for? If you ain't hurt, what you crying for? If you got everything under control, what you crying? The reason I'm crying is because I'm hurting. The reason why I'm crying is because I'm in pain. So it's not just an act of faith to act like it don't happen. The act of faith is to say, yeah, I'm going to look this thing right in the, I'm going to face what's facing me, but I'm going to call on the Lord and ask him to do something that I can't do. It's calling on the Lord. I waited and I called. That's what waiting is. But then I tell you, he brings me out. I have overcome. Listen to what he says. He says he brought me out. Let me just tell you this. And you know this if you've been walking with God for a while. Let me just put it like this. When he says he brought me out, he's saying, Sean, what I want to tell you about God is, no matter how deep the pit is, he won't leave you hanging. Some of you need to understand that God won't leave you hanging. The reason why I resorted to desperate situations or desperate options is because I have lost my bearings. I've forgotten my anchor, and now I feel like I got to make a way for myself. Well, the only reason I feel like I got to make a way for myself is because I have not factored in that God is going to make a way for me. So you need to go back. Instead of just looking at everything around, you need to go back. And David is telling you, Sean, he brought me out. I'm letting you know this, that he won't leave you hanging. And some of you, your problem ain't you mad with your wife or your husband, or you mad at your job. You taking it out on them, but your real problem is you got a problem with God. And before you fix your man problem or your woman problem, you need to fix your God problem. Because, see, it don't matter who else don't have my back. Now, let me go and do it. Don't look at my face. We can roll our eyes at each other together. But it really don't matter who don't have my back as long as God got my back. And see, here, it really don't matter if you got my back no way because it pretty ain't too much you can do no way. But as long as God got my back, he's the one that designed the pit. He's the one that arranged the pit. And if he knew I was getting in there, he know how to get me out. God won't leave you hanging. But not only does he say that he brings me out, the text said that he sets me on a rock. Y'all see that? He established my steps. What does that mean? The idea of a rock, it means security. It means he gives me a space of stability. Now, I need you to connect that with what was said before. He brings me out. He takes me through this overwhelming situation. Watch me now. Listen. Don't go to sleep. Don't let the liquor go away. Give me sleep. Come on. He brings overwhelming situation. Then he brings me out. And then after he brings me out, that gives me what I need for security. What am I saying? I go back when God allows me to go through this story. The reason why he's allowed me to go through this story and give me deliverance is because now as I begin to walk, and remember that the word for faith, the metaphor for faith in the Bible is walking. The text here says that he gives me stability when I walk. What's the idea? Some people have what these psychologists call basophobia. Basophobia is the fear of walking. Everybody say basophobia. Say, neighbor, do you have basophobia? Now, it's the fear of walking. And the reason why I'm scared of walking is because I feel like I'm going to fall. And some of you, you've gone through whatever you've gone through. You come out and you don't want to trust God no more. You're in a situation of what I call spiritual paralysis. I trust God, but never again. I risked it all, but I ain't finna do that no more. You know what? From now on, I'm going to take care of myself, me, myself, and I. Some of you got that attitude, and what happened is you got spiritual basophobia. You're scared to walk by faith. You're scared to take a step on God because you're scared you're going to fall. What David is saying is you ain't got to live like that. The cure for basophobia is to go back to when he brought you out last time, and when you remember what he did last time, that gives you stability to be able to walk and say what he did before, he can do it again. I ain't making this stuff up, because in verse 13. No, you read it. I want you to see verse 13. Now, you just saw what we saw. God, I was in trouble. I was in the pit. God brought me out. Y'all saw that? Okay, look at verse 13. Same book thing. Verse 13. Y'all see it? He switches. You looking at it? It says, be pleased, O Lord, to do what? To save me, deliver me. O Lord, make haste, help me. Wait a minute, David. You just said God brought you out in verse 1 and 3. Now 10 verses later, you, Lord, get me out. Make up your mind. Are you out or are you in? Y'all ready? David is saying this. In layman's terms, what David is saying is this, Sean. In contemporary terms, he said, yeah, that was back then. I'm rehearsing in verse 1 through 3 what he did before. But in verse 13, I'm telling you about what I'm in right now. Let me put it this way. Sean, this is what David said to you today. He said, see, what I was telling you about in 1 through 3, that's what the Lord did for me in 2016. What I'm crying about now in verse 13 is what I got to go through in 2017. Y'all hear what I'm trying to tell you? Because, see, God don't bring you out to sit on your behind. Got the T-shirt. Got the keychain. Got the coffee mug. I've been there and done that. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, you got some more walking to do. So he brought me out before. So in verse 13, I'm trusting the Lord for my present situation, 2017, based on what he's done in my past situation, 2016. So I look back at what he's done before to get an indication. I wish I had a witness here of what he'll do again. Let me talk to you. Those of you who are in that hopeless situation, and all of us get there. And once you get there, man, your emotions start moving you to go all kind of way. You got faith. You know, it's like, I know God can hold me up, but your emotions start talking and you start grabbing at everything. Now, what you need to do in that situation is, you don't need no prophet. You don't need nobody, come on, lift your hands and give me $20 while you're doing it. You don't need all that. Save the money because you need to pay them bills. Listen, you don't need to go and speculate about what might happen in the future. And that's really what's killing you. The greater percentage of the stuff you tripping about and got high blood pressure, you can't go to sleep at night, you got to take about 15 pills, is about stuff that has never happened and probably never will happen. You have inundated yourself with so many what ifs that you have stagnating your ability to trust God. And what God is saying is, you ain't got to worry about the future. That's in my hand anyway. What you need to do is go back to your tomorrow, your yesterday, and be reminded of what God did for you yesterday. You got to hear what I'm telling you? Go back to what God did yesterday. Take your yesterday and tell your tomorrow what God did for you yesterday. The same God who worked it out then is the same God who will work it out right now. Then somebody else tell him, you got some more walking to do. Now tell him. Now look at him. Tell him, you got some more walking to do. Now really, you'll be surprised how many folk that went through something and think because of what you went through, you've earned the right to sit back and you can get it. No, the faith that you had yesterday, you're going to need it for tomorrow. Matter of fact, my wife put it like this for me. She said, when it comes to my computer, she didn't help me. When we first got together, man, I was writing everything in paper. I ain't turn the thing on. But she didn't kind of school me a little bit. And when I went through seminary and college, all that, she was like, now, baby, when you do your paper, before, listen to what I'm telling you, before you close out the file, don't forget to save it. Let me do it one more time. Before you close out what you did before, save it. So, because when you need it later, you'll be able to pick it up. Can I just give you a little advice from technology for your spiritual odyssey? And what I want to tell you is, before you close out 2016 and what God did for you and how he made a way and all that, before you come out and step into 2017, just don't forget to save it on your faith flash drive. What God did, because in 2017, when you're going to need it, you're going to need to pull it up and be reminded, because you're going to have to go to the doctor in 2017. But you can go back to 2016 and say, I've already been there. The Lord already did. I'm going to have some financial trouble in 2017. I'm going to pull up that flash drive and say, I've been there, and the same God who did it then can do it now. Before you close out that file, don't forget to save it. This is what this passage is about. Y'all hear me? One more. And you got to go watch this game. What a deacon said, hell yeah. I love this church. I am overwhelmed. Matter of fact, repeat it after me. Say, I am overwhelmed. I have overcome. I'm in overflow. Look at the text. It's going to say after that, matter of fact, I'm going to read to and read up into it. He drew me out of the pit of destruction, out of miry bog. He set my feet upon a rock. And he made my steps secure. He put a new song, that's who we are, in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and put their trust in the Lord. So what God does is this, overflow. What God is doing is he's saying that what you're going through is not just for you. Let me do it again. What you're going through is not just for you. Let me do it one more time. What you're going through is not just for you. What he's doing is he's gonna hijack that situation you went through. And he's saying, I'm going to put a new song in your mouth. That is, I'm going to use what you just went through so that everybody else can see just what he did for me, he can do for you. Now, y'all think I'm making this up? Look at the text. I want you to notice the pronouns in the text, and I want you to see how it goes. He's going to say in verse 2 what he did to my feet. Everybody say my feet. Then he talks about my steps. Y'all see that? Then he said he put a new song in my mouth. Everybody say my mouth. And then he says a song of praise to our God. Do you see the difference? My feet, my steps, my mouth. But after we get through doing it for me, it's for what he did for our God. And then he says after that, many will see it. So it's not just for me, but God is taking me through. That's why here it is. You can't be selfish with your situation. Matter of fact, your problem and your deliverance don't belong to you. God has the property rights to your praise. You don't own your praise, because the text said he put a new song. That is, he got the copyright. It wasn't a song you came up with. It was a song that he wrote upon the tablet of your life. And he said, now that I've given you a song, open up your mouth. I'm coming out with my hands up. Do me a favor. Pour me some water. Do about half. Yes, sir. Do about half, yeah. They're good. That's cool. Usually when we get a glass like this, metaphorically speaking, the discussion we have is around two questions. Right. Is glass half full, or is glass half empty? Okay. I want to suggest to you another question. No matter what you got in the glass, how much you got in the glass, the question is not, is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? The question is, are you thirsty? Cameron, can I do that one more time? Listen, because all that is about me. Half full, half empty. Okay, at the end, somebody got to drink it. So the question is not, is it half full? It's not half empty. The question is, are you thirsty? Whatever I got in here, whatever God has given me, whatever God has put in my life, I'm going to give it to you and say you can sip off of my good, my praise. I wish I had a witness in here. So some of y'all been sipping on gin and juice. You got a little bit more than gin and juice. You can sip off of my praise. Look at somebody and say, you want a sip? Oh, I got plenty. You've been sipping on the wrong thing. And God is saying, look, quit going back and forth. Some of y'all are good. Y'all are what I call pitomologists. Y'all know how to describe the pit. You know how to talk about the pit. You know how big the pit is, how wide the pit, how long I've been in the situation. And you, for your whole life as a pitomologist, is going around talking about all you that nobody know. That's all you in. That's all you can talk about is the trouble. I wish I had a witness in here. But do you know the text said he put a new song? Everybody say new song. Do you know why God gives a new song? The reason why he gave me a new song is because he gave me a new situation. And for every new act of deliverance, I need to have a song that he did it again. You know the difference between the blues and gospel? I said, do you? Do you know the difference between blues and gospel? The difference between blues and gospel is not necessarily the way the music go. You know, the one, the four, and the five, and all that. We pretty much playing the same chords. Matter of fact, it's the same cast is singing. The difference between the blues and the gospel is the blues only ends and it focuses on the pit. It begins and it ends with the pit. The thrill is gone. That's the blues. What gospel does is the gospel includes the pit, but then it takes it from the pit to the praise. They say, this is what I mean, but I'm going to end with this is what God did with. I wish I had a witness in here. And some of y'all still singing the blues. All you in, you just stuck. I don't know what I'm going to do. She did it. It just hurt. This happened to me and all that. Now, and gospel said, the word of God said, no. David said, no, go on and sing the blues. I was overwhelmed. I was in a pit. But don't you stop there. That's not the end of the song. Don't put a period in the pit. You put a comma, because after the pit come the praise, because God brought me out. Blues say, the thrill is gone. But gospel say, like a ship that's tossed and driven,
Battered by an angry sea when the storm of life is raging and the fury falls on me. I wonder what I have done. That's blues to make this race so hard to run. But then he moved the gospel. But then I say to my soul, take courage. Here go gospel. The Lord will make a way somehow. So I'm in overflow. That means that everything that God has put in my life, he's building a story, and I can't be selfish with it. Number one, because it's not mine. Number two, it was designed to be a blessing to you. I'm not going to worry about how big the pit is or whether it's full or empty. Here's what God has given me. Take a little sip. Here it is, y'all. Why would God do this to me? Why would God allow me to go through these situations? Well, he puts me through it so he can get some praise out of me. And sometimes the praise just don't lose out because, you know, we get so selfish and get inundated in our own situations. And now we come to church now. If you in it for a while, it's just kind of like a relationship. When you first got in it, y'all were just all over the place. But now people got to beg for some. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? I said, you understand what I'm trying to tell you? Huh? Used to be a time when you was opening up her door? Huh? Open up the door for her. Now she got to run to catch up with the car to get in. Because after a while, you start getting used to stuff. And even with God, it's like with the praise thing, it'd be like, he's supposed to do that. And you'll get callous. If you're not careful, you'll get callous. And you'll get so used to things. And sometimes God said, no, I made you for praise. I made you for my glory. And what I put in you, I'm going to get out. And so sometimes what God got to do is, he got to put you in a situation so he can get out of you. Matter of fact, let me just show you what I'm talking about, and I'm going to end this thing. James, you ready to get on out of here, man? In my hand, I got a little Colgate here, a little toothpaste. It's almost out. And within the black community, and I don't know nobody else because I can't speak with nobody. I don't know. But in my house, what we used to do when we get it down like this, we couldn't. Daddy didn't say go to the store and go get another. Because he knew it was something in here. So it was one, two things we did. One, we took a knife and cut. But what Daddy would tell me to do, he said, no. And I'm like, well, it's over through. He said, no, son, there's some more in there. But what you're going to have to do in order for you to get out what's in there is you're going to have to squeeze. You're going to have to put a little pressure. And I know it looks like it ain't nothing else left. But if you just put a little pressure on it, I guarantee you that what's on the inside will start coming out. And some of y'all been through so much hell, and you feel like, I ain't got no praise. I ain't got nothing left. God said, okay, I know exactly what you need. So the reason why he puts you in the situation you in, just to give you a little pressure, that financial trouble that you got right now, can I tell you what God is doing? He's squeezing you. That relationship issue you got going on right now. Do you know what God is doing with you? He's squeezing you. That little trouble you got with your supervisor. Do I have a witness here? Look at somebody and say, he's just squeezing me. And I can guarantee you that what he'll do is he will get out of you what he put in you. Because the God I serve is no stranger to pits. I heard Joseph say, I was in a pit, but at the end of the day, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Jeremiah was in a pit. I wish I had a witness here, but he gave praise to the Lord and said, I'm coming out with my hands up. Do I have a witness here? David found himself in a number of pits. But I heard him say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, Because although I'm in the pit, I'm not by myself. Because thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Do I have a witness here? But not only do I see Joseph in the pit, not only do I see David in the pit, not only do I see Jeremiah in the pit, but after 42 generations, I see one coming down all the way from heaven. Heal the sick, raise the dead, unstop deaf ears, open blinded eyes, stepped out on a ship and calmed the raging sea. But one day he got in a pit. He got in the worst pit. He said, I'm going to take on Psalm 40 for y'all. I'm going to take on your problems and your issue and your sin become my sin. I heard Isaiah say he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquities. I wish I had a witness here. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. He went on the cross and he got on that pit. Do I have a witness here? He stayed there until he told the man, today you'll be with me in paradise. He stayed there until he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He stayed there, y'all have a witness here, until they said, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. He went into the grave. He's still in the pit, y'all. We didn't hear from him Friday night. Still in the pit. We didn't hear from him Saturday day. He's still in the pit. We didn't hear from him Saturday night. Still in the pit. But early. Ain't God all right? Early Sunday morning, do you know what happened? He got up. I said he got up. He brought him out. The Father raised him up with all power in his hand. And I don't care what you going through. The God I serve say you can afford to go through the pit. But when you go through the pit, don't forget to trust in the Lord. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, I may have to go through, but I'm coming out with my hands up. Do it one more time. Say, neighbor. Now shake the hand and say, neighbor, I may have to go through, but I'm coming out with my hands up, with my mouth open, and I'm going to give him praise. Ain't he all right? Is there anybody here that got your hands up? I said, is there anybody here that got your hands up? Won't you help me? Because if you're saved, you've been in a pit and it's called sin. And but one day, Jesus changed your name. He saved your soul. And I want you to be a witness with me. I'm going to call your day, the day you got saved, the day that it changed your name. And when I call your day, I want you to stand up and be a witness and say, I came out with my hands up. If it saved you on a Monday, won't you stand up? If it changed your name on a Tuesday, won't you go on and stand up? If it changed you on a Wednesday, won't you stand and be a witness? And say, I came out with my hands up. Somebody got saved on a Thursday. Won't you stand up and be a witness? Yeah. Somebody came to Jesus on a Friday. Won't you stand and say, I came out with my hands up. Somebody came on a Saturday. Yeah. Stand up and tell somebody, I came out with my hands up. Now I ain't got but one more day. And if you can't stand on this day, you need to come on down the aisle. And today can be your day. If he changes on a Sunday, won't you go on and stand up and be a witness and say, neighbor, I'm coming out with my hand up. Say yay! Say yay! Yeah! I say he's all right. Say yeah. Say yeah. Well,